Jordana, Paul, Dan Cook. Do you guys sleep with the TV on? Do you fall asleep to the television?
Nope.
No, you don't.
I got a white sound machine. Yeah.
That sounds very hoity-toity.
No, it's not. It's just white sound.
A little bit. What about you?
Yeah, I fall asleep to the television. I also have a fan that runs, and the Google Assistant plays some sort of white noise
wow.
as well.
Got
a
whole, it's like a symphony.
Yeah, I got a whole thing going on. A
lot going on in there. Yeah, Handsome Husband and I do, too. We'll put on the TV and watch some late-night shows, and we end up falling asleep, and then one of us wakes up, turns it off, and then we'll pass out. So apparently, that's not a great idea.
It's not good.
Not a great idea.
Very
yeah.
bad.
Dozing
Very
off
bad.
To late-night TV or sleeping with other lights can mix up your metabolism and lead to weight gain and even obesity. Oh, boy. See, I don't think this knowledge is now going to change my habit because I'm so used to falling asleep with the TV on. But the National Institutes of Health published a study on Monday. They say, look, it's not 100% proof, but it bolsters evidence saying too much exposure to light at night could pose the risks. They say we're supposed to be sleeping in a dark place thanks to evolution at night. Mm-hmm. And exposure to light maintains our 24-hour body clock, or it screws up our 24-hour body clock, and it screws up the sleep-wake cycle. So we really shouldn't have the TV on.
My body clock has been screwed up for many years now.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, just when you work odd shifts, right?
I mean, that's true.
In this business and in TV, Paul, with you, I mean, it absolutely messes with your body clock.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where it'd be a bad idea to have the TV on all night as
Correct.
You're trying to sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with mine, I have a timer on it, and I set it for an hour or an hour and a half, whatever it is, and that way I know that if I fall asleep or when I fall asleep, that that's going to end up shutting itself
it will.
Off. So.
Yeah, that's smart.
So I don't want that light on the whole time. Absolutely
right.
not.
Okay.
I need dark and quiet to fall asleep. Lori wants a party.
Oh, nice.
You know,
and you're still sleeping in the same bed.
Music. No, but she'll go into a different room and just crank the TV and the music.
Okay.
And like sometimes driving, I've got the radio blasting.
Yeah.
And she falls asleep there. But if it's too quiet, too dark, then she can't fall asleep. Mm. She needs the noise.
So she kind of calms herself down in front of the TV in another room and then gets in bed later.
Yes.
Okay.
Something like that.
For me, I need something that my brain can seize onto that's kind of soft and dull and not real interesting. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and it's C-SPAN. I can fall asleep to that. That's great. It's fantastic. Late night C-SPAN. Perfect.
That's right. It's like
but it needs something because otherwise if I start thinking about what's going on the next day or what happened today, or, you know, that level of thought process keeps me awake and prevents me from falling asleep.
I get that.
But if I get something soft and dull and, you know, it's there. I can't just have quiet because, you know, that's where my brain goes off.
Mm-hmm.
But something else that my brain can latch onto and not be thinking about all the rest of these thoughts, that's what gets me to sleep.
And I think the white noise, like you guys both have it, or the music, I think it's okay because it's not the light.
Right.
Just the noise.
Yeah.
It's just, and this white noise is just a little fan.
Yeah?
Yeah. It costs like $40.
Could Handsome Husband snoring be my white noise?
Probably.
Well.
Probably not repetitive enough, right?
So, one of the biggest complaints when I talk to people who run businesses, little businesses, big businesses, is finding good people, keeping good people.
Mm-hmm.
The labor market is so tight right now. I found it interesting that Walmart, they're also struggling to find talent in this tight job market, Jor. The retailer is reaching out to high school students with a new pitch. Come work at Walmart. We will cover your SAT prep and college tuition.
Come on.
Now there's a catch. Yeah.
Okay.
Walmart announced earlier today it will expand its $1 a day college benefit to its current high school students and future high schoolers who work at the company.
So wait, every day you work there, they put a dollar in an account for you?
Well, yeah. It's not quite that simple. Apparently, Walmart offers up to 7 hours of free college credit to high school students and provides free SAT and ACT prep. Walmart, here's the deal.
Nice.
Walmart subsidizes the cost of students' tuition, books, and fees, but only at 6 nonprofit colleges.
Oh. Okay.
One of them includes the University of Florida.
Okay.
To its credit, Walmart has raised its minimum wage, expanded benefits, started to pay bonuses to workers who limit their absences. That's interesting. And they're looking for new ways to attract talent. By the way, Walmart, the largest private employer in America, 1.5 million workers in this country, fewer than 25,000 of them are in high school today. So they're trying to get more young people in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But other companies, Jor, are also focusing on education benefits to try to draw workers. Hotel chains, McDonald's, Mickey D's, recently expanded tuition benefit programs. Last year, McDonald's started offering $2,500 a year to eligible restaurant employees, $3,000 a year to managers in tuition assistance.
Smart.
Starbucks has a tuition-free program. So,
because maybe those jobs weren't necessarily meant to last forever.
No.
They're the high school job, the get-on-your-feet job, or the side hustle.
Right.
You know, while you're doing bigger things.
While you're studying to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it.
I give them credit for thinking outside the box.
We just learned, in fact, Target, in trying to keep up with Walmart, announced that they would offer some paternity leave. That was a story this week also.
Yep.
I was shocked. I'm like, they're trying to keep up with Walmart? The people who have to have, like, fund drives to help people pay for Thanksgiving dinner? That was a story a few years ago that they were, like, having GoFundMe pages to help their employees pay for Thanksgiving dinner. And when that got out, you know, that was a huge uproar that Walmart should just pay a living wage and people would be able to afford the turkey. But I guess they're changing their ways and they are treating their employees nicer.
Until the robots can do everything, they still need people.
And then there's that. Then there's this. In New Jersey, they have panic buttons now for hotel room cleaners. Dan Cook said, I didn't realize this was such a dangerous job.
Grief.
But apparently
it
is. It's now a law. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a bill Tuesday that said they are the nation's first state that's requiring hotels to provide their workers wearable panic buttons so they can summon help in case of an emergency. Marriott Hotel, Marriott and Hilton have already announced plans to provide the devices for their worker without being forced to the government. It takes effect in January. In 2018, a 51-year-old room cleaner at Bally's Casino, I imagine in Atlantic City, was pushed into a room by a man who then sexually assaulted her. The housekeepers were enraged. Several interviewed after that deal. You know, they said they felt unsafe at the job, and they believe that this will help. They need a panic button. And, hey, look, that is a vulnerable job. Now, when you think about it that way, that is vulnerable. You're alone. You're there. There may be people, you know, partying in a hotel room. Anything could happen.
Makes sense to me.
Panic buttons for hotel workers.
Sure, this one made me do a triple take. And that's what this segment is all about. Some of the stories that make us scratch our heads. Switzerland is now requiring social animals to be kept in pairs.
Well, what's a social animal? Like a dog?
Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Social animals like guinea pigs, parrots, parakeets. They are now, in Switzerland, considered victims of abuse if they're not kept in pairs. Mm-hmm. A new law in Switzerland also requires that if cats are kept alone, they must have daily contact with either a human or visual contact with another feline.
Yeah, but the cat doesn't want anything to do with you, so that's on the cat.
Switzerland's animal rights law, introduced in 2008, was part of a legislative push to grant social rights to pets that suffer when they are confined alone. Swiss authorities say they don't perform door-to-door welfare checks on animals.
I hope not, because that's a lot of free time they got then.
They expect... they do it different.
Don't come check on my dog. She's just fine. Believe you me, she's fine.
They expect public opinion and mandatory training classes for pet owners to do most of the work.
Oh my gosh.
The U.S. has no law requirements for social animals. Should we? Should pet owners be required to have a buddy for social animals?
Don't worry, your cat's still licking her own butt. She's fine.
Should your dog have another dog just to keep them company?
I mean, that's nice, but I don't want two dogs. So she's got plenty of company.
Should your anaconda have another anaconda?
I'm pretty sure the snakes are not social animals.
God help us. All right.
I'm
well, that's Switzerland.
Sure.
That's not how we roll here in the States.
It's also 5:20. When we get back, we're going to check in with H. Lake. Henry Lake is live at Target Field before tonight's Twins game. We'll hear from him next. Our own Henry Lake is out at Target Field pre-Twins game. Henry, what's it feeling like out there?
Hey, Henry.
Things are good. Everything is good to go, and they're going to be playing baseball tonight. There's no no thoughts of any rain. Everything's kind of passed through, they've said. So we're good to go tonight.
They said?
Yeah, just the people
really?
Here in the press
they?
Box, yeah.
We know Perez is on the mound for the Twins tonight, and he struggled a little bit in his last couple
why,
of starts.
Why, do you have something different, Paul?
No, I was just curious. I'm curious who you're listening to.
I'm sorry.
Al Roker. I'm not taking it personally. It's fine.
I'm just saying Twins officials.
I hope they are right. I do think that the Twins will get the game in this
okay.
evening.
Okay. So you've rubber stamped it. We're good to go.
Yeah. What can go wrong? hey, I'm curious. The The Twins have hit 125 home runs. Seattle has hit 126 so far this year, but they've played five more games this season than the Twins. And I find it interesting, too, that 10 of the 25 players on the Twins roster speak Spanish. So it looks like the Bomba Squad, looks like that branding is going to stick. And now there's what? Apparently, Dan Cook says there's a T-shirt that you can get at Target Field.
Really?
With Bomba Squad. So
yeah, they were taking pictures with some of the guys. Yeah. Miguel Sano had one. I think Eddie Rosario had one. Yeah. So
that must be absolutely brand new because I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
yet.
It was just today. It was just today. Okay. They were tweeting it out. So
okay, check all Twitter. Right. I gotta see what that. I gotta check it out.
So Yankees apparently have set the single season home run record of 267 last season, but right now it looks like the Twins are on pace for 316 homers. Which would make mincemeat of the old club record of 225 that was set back in 1963. Looks like this trend is going to continue, huh?
Well, I'm not going to.
Who's
going to
stop the freight train now?
I see. There you go. See, you know what? If they happen to not break it, it's going to be on Paul Douglas. I'm not looking at it like that.
Like that, not say it. I'm
like
sorry.
Like everybody is talking about the record, and I won't go there. I don't like discussing it because, you know, there's going to come a point where maybe the home runs will taper off just a bit. When we start talking about on pace, I get the on pace thing, but I don't want to jinx it.
Let's talk a little bit pitching. Perez is on the mound tonight. He struggled. What's the energy going to be like tonight? How's he going to change it up?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he bounces back or if he's going to bounce back because when you look at how things have played out, there's been so much success for not only the offense but also the starting rotation. And people will wonder who's going to be the person that will maybe take a step back or kind of fall off of their pace and all of that stuff, whatever. And Martin Perez has been really good to start the year, but he's struggled here the last couple of starts. And, you know, what is going to happen tonight for him? Is this a mirage in terms of the hot start and now he's kind of coming back to who he is, or is this just a mirage in terms of what he's done the last couple of short outings? So trend or mirage, which one is it? We'll see what happens tonight with Martin Perez.
Henry, I'm exhausted being the only person trying to predict the future. I would like you now to go on record, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but give me the final tonight.
The final score of tonight's ball game?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Predict. Based on all the variables, all the data, do some real-time crunching in your head and just give me the final score. And then we'll see. We'll check in tomorrow and see how well you did.
Okay, let's say Twins 6, Mariners 2.
6-2.
Before I let you go, Henry, right. I know you're an NBA guy, and I've been watching the finals also. Golden State stays alive again with a Game 5 win. But Kevin Durant, another injury. So what are we looking at tonight, and was it stupid to put him in?
It was absolutely ridiculous to put him in.
But they needed to stay alive, so I can see like kind of where the thought process came in.
Yeah, but he wasn't healthy. And that's the issue. Like people that are saying that you needed him to play and all this other stuff, the only reason why they put him in was because they were on the verge of elimination and he wasn't healthy. If they were tied in the series or if they were leading in the series, Kevin Durant would not have been out there. And that's just the reality of it. So it's tough. And look, whenever you have a star player that wants to play and they're used to winning championships and he's a two-time NBA Finals MVP, of course he wasn't going to, you know, pass up the opportunity. But you got to save players from themselves at times. And the Warriors didn't do that. They fell short of their duty, and that's unfortunate.
One of the more disappointing things I've seen recently as a fan is hearing some of the Raptors fans cheering after his injury. I thought, really? It's come to that?
Yeah, that happens.
Just, man. So,
Henry's out at Target Field. We're going to check in with you again at 5:50, Henry, as we get closer to the pregame show.
6-2. I'm writing this down, Henry. 6-2.
That's good.
All right, but it's okay. He can't predict the future.
Like you're going to hold me to it.
I think you put him on the spot unfairly.
I'm not.
About this gig is fair.
I'm not Mr. Vegas.
You're the best, Henry. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Henry.
So if your in-laws offered you $100,000, but there were strings attached, would you take it? Let's talk next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back. So has anybody ever left you a chunk of change?
Nope.
Nope. No. Rich uncle that didn't have any kids except you, his favorite nephew, and now you're, you know, rolling in it?
There was that big dowry when I married my wife, yeah, that huge dowry.
Three goats and a lemon tree.
Chickens, yeah.
Yeah. Well, interesting dilemma here. Interesting article in Moneyist. A question was written in. It says, my in-laws recently approached my wife and I about giving us our inheritance now rather than later. They would prefer to see us spend the money now while they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
They're very well off. And while they haven't discussed exact numbers, if given in a lump sum, I'd anticipate an inheritance of at least six figures. Yeah, so that's nice.
Wow.
He continues in his letter, I do not like the idea of receiving large sums of money I did not earn. Really? Come on, boyfriend. Let's be honest.
You could probably get past that.
Yeah, well, right. Okay. We're past it now.
It's not drug money, right? Yeah. It wasn't...
He writes, regardless of how much money we have when we're older, my wife and I have agreed that our children are on their own after they move out of the house. If I'm lucky enough to be in that situation where I have a large sum of money, I'll certainly leave them some, but I have no desire to leave it all to them or provide for them when they're grown adults. Okay. He writes, additionally, it seems my in-laws only want to give us money if we're planning to spend it on things they approve. That makes it seems like less of a gift and more of a way to influence our decision making. Am I overthinking this and being selfish by saying I do not want their money? They already helped us buy a house, one we could not have been able to afford. My wife and I both have good incomes. We have no other debt than our mortgage. We pay cash for large items, so it's not like we need their money to get out of debt or for an emergency. So am I overthinking it? Imagine having a problem like this?
Yeah.
Here, we'd love to give you $100,000.
We should all be so lucky.
But maybe you could, buy a boat with it. He doesn't say what his parents or her parents, excuse me, want them to do with it, but that they maybe are making suggestions. You know, you might want to redecorate the living room. Your father doesn't really like that sofa. I have no idea. He doesn't say. But would you take it?
Oh, hell yes.
Right?
Well, yes.
Right?
I mean, yeah, you're not taking it from anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can put the money to good use, especially if it goes towards a house, a down payment, or
what if they said,
college,
you know,
education?
We'd like you to use it to put an extension on the house to take care of us when we're old. Although they have so much money, I guess they could afford care.
I think it would depend on the strings, but I think this guy is overthinking it.
I think so, too. 651-989-9226. Have you ever been in a situation like this where somebody offered you money, but there were strings? And how did you handle it? What do you think? 651-989-9226. What do you think? I have not been fortunate enough to be in that situation.
Nobody's offered you large sums
nobody's
of money?
Handing me a lot of cash at all, so that is not an issue. Although, when I was married for the first time, we were a young married couple, my grandmother did give us $10,000. And she said, I'd love you to use it for a down payment on a house. I didn't think those were necessarily strings. I mean, what else does a young couple need money for? You know, you save for a house. And we did. We were married a long time, and we saved a lot of money for a down payment, and we used that money for a down payment on a house. So, yeah, it certainly helps. So, but I didn't think of it as strings. And I guess at that point in my life, I didn't have a lot of other debt, so it's not like I was going to use it for something else. I had no problem taking that money, and I had no problem using it for a down payment on a house. My grandmother was very generous.
That's very cool that your grandmother did that.
Yeah,
and I think
she's still alive, by the way. Woman's 99 years old.
Wow.
She is amazing. She never asked for the 10 grand back, by the way.
Does she drink a glass of whiskey every day? What's the secret
she
to her longevity?
She told me the secret was that she did a lot of yoga in the 70s. I can't believe that's really the secret. But that's so money with strings. Have you had an experience of money with strings? 651-989-9226. Have you? You haven't had anything like this?
No. No,
and would you do this?
I should be so lucky.
Would you do this for your sons?
You know, I like the idea of setting aside mm-hmm. some money mm-hmm. for the boys, but my boys do want to earn their own money.
Sure.
There's a satisfaction that comes mm-hmm. from earning your own money,
mm-hmm.
and I get that. But if a relative is offering you an inheritance or some money to help your family, why on earth wouldn't you consider that?
Right? Adams and
the strings would have to be pretty onerous.
I agree. Some pretty tight strings.
Well, come on. Really?
Adams in Minneapolis. Adam, you have a situation like this, sir?
Well, my situation a little bit, but a slightly different. Our uncle passed, and we all got our chunk of money.
Oh, nice.
And within a year, I got in a bind with the law, and I spent majority of my chunk of the money on lawyer fees.
Ooh.
To keep myself out of the clink.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the reading of the will is public, everyone knows what everyone gets.
Right.
So now I have a whole family that's like, yeah, well, your butt would be in the hooskow if it wasn't for our uncle's money and you wasted it on a lawyer.
Oh, so they're judging how you spent it?
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like a good use of funds to me. If it keeps you out of the clink, I mean, what?
Yeah, exactly. Seems like a good use of clink. That's what I thought, too.
Absolutely. No, they don't get to judge that. Your uncle left it to you, and you needed it, and you used it. No, that's not okay.
Yeah, don't look back.
So.
All right, Adam.
Thank you.
Gosh, I hope you don't have that situation where you needed to keep you out of the clink.
But again, having just gone through the court system myself, the power of good attorneys.
Yes, Paul was a peeping Tom. He was accused.
Now, there's some percentage of CCO listeners that are going to think that I am a peeping. No, it's not true.
I was just kidding.
But there's something to be said. When you need an attorney, find a really good one.
Well,
right?
But
they're not cheap, but boy.
And you can't judge the way somebody else spends their inheritance. I think that's wrong of his family. They better not be asking for the money back. But I think a great way to do that also, if the parents are alive and they want to give the kids money, I know I would sleep better at night knowing that there was enough money for college and I didn't have to worry about saving for that. So if they said, hey, we're going to set up funds for your kids, you know, for some college, take care of some college expenses, as the sandwich generation in between, I would feel like, wow, that is super generous. You know, it's still their money. They're getting to spend it. Yes, they're helping me as their child, but it's also helping their grandchild. So those kind of strings, you know, if they want to set up college funds for my kids, go nuts.
I did not have a trust fund.
No.
And I, hey, if you can set aside some money for your kids or your grandkids and do anything to give them a fighting chance, a better chance. Why wouldn't you do that?
Right. And why wouldn't you take it? 651-989-9226. I mean, I guess a lot of people don't have this problem. It is kind of a good problem to have.
If you want to provide the funds for us to build an extension on our home, you can pick out the color of the walls.
But some people don't want that.
You can pick out the sofa. I don't care.
Some people don't want that. They don't want anything to do with that. They say, no, you don't get to pick my paint color because some people might get really mad. All right, let's hear what Dear Abby,
you can always repaint it, really.
Dear Moneyist had to say about that. Let's see. She says, dear son-in-law, the biggest interference they've made in your life so far appears to be helping you buy your home.
Yeah.
That sounds like a kind of meddling most people could tolerate.
Yes.
Even on a wet weekend when the in-laws came to stay. Yeah, for sure. They've already opened up their wallet to you and your wife, so the proverbial horse or piñata has already bolted. Perhaps the monetary help made you feel uncomfortable. The worst kind of in-law gift tax would include comments like, you know what would look good in the living room? An ottoman so your father can put up his feet. That's right, yeah. Or like you said, Paul, I'm not crazy about the color you chose for your bedroom. But look, if they give you money for it, maybe you can let some of those comments slide. She says, you're certainly not unusual in the fact that you're accepting help from your in-laws for a big-ticket item like a house. I mean, a lot of us do that if we're lucky enough to have someone willing to give that. She says, you could accept the money, by the way. Oh, see, she likes my suggestion. You could accept the money for use in a 529 plan for your children's education. You could open a savings account for your children's future housing needs. Oh, see, that's a good idea because they already helped them pay for their house. They could say, well, we're going to pay it forward. You gave us money as a down payment for our house. We're going to use your money that you're giving us as a down payment for the kids' houses. Actually, really like that. She also suggests taking one vacation per year with family and perhaps even inviting the in-laws along. I think that would be a fantastic way to spend that money. So and the in-laws would be very grateful.
I'm going to make more of an effort to kiss up to all of my relatives.
I think that's...
Hoping that, well, it's not going to happen, but okay.
I think. She says it might be a stretch for you, but my overarching point is that the money could benefit other people in your family and give them the same start that you had when you embarked.
I can see how some people, you know, you want to be a good provider, and a lot of people don't like handouts. You want to earn the money, and yet... Really? The strings would have to be pretty amazing.
They're your in-laws. They love you. It's a mitzvah to take the money.
I will not take that check. No, I cannot.
Pretty hoity-toity.
It's my work ethic. Yeah.
And if anybody wants to send money, feel free to send it to the station. We're good. We'll let you know how we spend it.
Yeah. 547 Wixen Jewelers time. As Minnesota's only full-service jewelry store, Wixen offers a variety of watch repair and jewelry services, all completed in-house. And those red-hot Twins taking on the Mariners, 7-10 first pitch right here on CCO Radio. The one, the only, the amazing Henry Lake at Target Field.
Hey, Henry.
You got a good gig, Henry.
I'm not amazing. I'm just a guy.
Just a guy.
I do have a great gig, though. You hit it right on the head. I have a great gig, yeah.
Nice to get paid to do what you love, right? And you can tell when you listen to your show that you love what you do, and that's cool.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm having a lot of fun this year. I mean, the Twins are making it fun. It's been a blast. So.
And reminder, Henry's show, of course, Final Pitch, is always on after every game. And he likes when you call in and talk to him, so make sure you do that. That's after the game. Pre-game is 6:30. First pitch is 7:10.
Yep.
But let's talk about Byron Buxton. You know, is he finally becoming the player the Twins fans wanted him to be?
Yeah, there's no question. And I know that... You know, when we think about, you know, draft picks, especially high draft picks, but just guys on the journey of going through the minor leagues and eventually getting up to the major leagues, we're always, like, in a rush, right? Like, with baseball players, we seldom show any patience. And I feel like, you know, when it comes to Byron Buxton, he's a guy that we all know is tremendously gifted with great athleticism, great speed, and all that stuff, whatever, and we just can't wait to see him fulfill the promise. And, you know, after a while, you know, I think that a lot of Twins fans got agitated, maybe a little bit frustrated because he wasn't getting to the big leagues at the time that we wanted him to, or he wasn't playing to the level. But right now, we're seeing a really good version of Byron Buxton, and I still think that there is a lot of growth for him still yet to fulfill.
Didn't help that the guy that got drafted ahead of him, Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
For Houston, made it
it's pretty
so
good.
Quick and, turned into such a superstar. But it's an interesting juxtaposition, Henry. You've got Keoni Cavaco, their number one draft pick that they just signed, literally today, just signed his professional contract. So you've got this 18-year-old kid, and it does remind you of when Byron was at that stage and how far he's come.
It's funny because I think that in baseball, when it comes to the growth and the development, it just takes so much time, but we're so quick to write off a lot of athletes, and that's the part that we have to understand, that we have to kind of relax and kind of take a deep breath with all that. Now with like basketball and with football and stuff like that, and you have, you know, lottery picks and first round picks, whatever. Yeah, of course, they're on the clock a lot, you know, quicker because there's no like minor league system. But when it comes to Major League Baseball, we just have to exercise a little bit more patience.
Hey, Henry, the Vikes signed tight end Kyle Rudolph to a 4-year, $36 million extension. You got about 30 seconds. Good idea?
Oh, absolutely good idea. I love it. It gives them an ability to have at least a couple of more years of Kyle Rudolph playing at a high level. I look at it as a 2-year deal as opposed to a, you know, 5 years, just because the way that the contract, it sounds like it's being structured. We haven't seen all the numbers, but it sounds like the guaranteed money kind of runs through 2 years.
All right.
Henry Lake, stay tuned to Henry after the game for Final Pitch and call into his show. Thanks for the time, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, take care, guys.
And again, pregame here right on CCO Radio at 6:30 and first pitch at 7:10.
Right.
Tomorrow, is college worth it? Gosh, we talk so much about college debt and student loans. Is it even worth it? Find out what a new study says. And we'll talk about those Airbnb rentals in Minneapolis.